Your Bibles this evening to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel in chapter 16. Shall we go to the Lord in word of prayer? Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful to be assembled together this evening to look into this portion of your word. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would bless our study this evening, open our hearts, and give us understanding of thy word and application to our life. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Tonight we'll be looking at verse 7, Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 7, we read, I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxed great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments, thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. So the natural point that we are be dealing with on this verse tonight, still under the main point of reminding them of where they had come and from and what has been done for them. And then the part of what he, God, has done for Jerusalem is that he multiplied them. Multiplied and increased them greatly. The Hebrew here actually reads, made thee millions. He made millions of them. Turn with me back to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. In chapter 15, and we want to go back here and look at God's promise to Abram. In chapter 15 of Genesis, in verse 5, he said, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. So told Abram here that his seed was going to be as the stars of heaven. You know, I'm just thinking, all our mighty telescopes that we have that reach out there into space and yet they can't number all the stars. They're focused on some of the bigger lights, such as the moon and Mars and that, but the stars, they can't number all the stars that are out there. But God told Abram that his seed was going to be as the stars of the heaven. Can you number them? He said, and your seed is going to be as the stars of heaven. Turn with me to the 22nd chapter. The 22nd chapter of Genesis. And look what he told him here in this chapter. In verse 17, after that, he found Abraham to be faithful even to the offering of his son, his only son, Isaac, upon the altar. And he said in verse 17, he said that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. So again here he says, I'm going to multiply thy seed, multiply it. And he says, I'm going to make it as the stars of the heaven and as the sand of the sea. Well, I haven't found anybody trying to count sand crystals either. You can't. It's an impossibility to number the sand of the sea, just as it's an impossibility to number the stars. And God told Abraham that he was going to make his seed as such. Now, look at the book of Deuteronomy. Book of Deuteronomy in chapter 10. And this is many, many years later, several hundred years later, in Deuteronomy chapter 10. In fact, they're getting the children of Israel have come out of the land of Egypt. They've gone through the 40 years of wilderness wandering because of their disobedience and entering into the land the first time. And now all those above the age of 20 have died. And now all those youngsters are ready to go in to the land. They're not youngsters anymore. They're at least 60 and under. But it said in verse 22 of chapter 10, thy fathers went down into Egypt, Jacob and all his sons. They went down into Egypt. They were their fathers that he's talking about, with 70 persons. Now, 70 people is not so awful many, is it? Would be a nice crowd in this building, but 70 is not so awful many. 70 souls went down into Egypt. And now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. Even by this point here, and all those above the age of 20 had died in the wilderness. And still, nearly the same number as they were the first time that they were to go in to the land. Still, he says, I've made thee as the stars of the heaven. And that process only continue. Now, getting back to Ezekiel in chapter 16, this verse that we're looking at tonight, verse 7, a statement concerning multiplying them and increased and they waxed great precedes what we had previously been looking at concerning spreading his skirt over them. Why does this precede that? Because they did increase. We just read in Deuteronomy chapter 10. They had already increased, you see, coming out. They increased down in Egypt. They became a mighty nation down in Egypt, which God saw them there love them, begin to bring them out, spread a skirt over them, sign of espousal. And now Deuteronomy 10:22 says, he's simply saying, I made you as the stars of heaven. And he did that while they were in Egypt. He increased them exceedingly. Think about this. He increased them exceedingly while they were bond slaves. While they were bond slaves, they grew to be a numerous people. Turn with me back to the book of Exodus. Exodus in chapter 1. And here we read in verse 7, Joseph has died off and all that generation. In fact, there came up a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. In verse 7 it says, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. That word mighty there doesn't go to strength, mighty in strength and mighty in war. It goes to a numerous number of people, dealing more with number. Yes, there is a sense when you have the numbers, you are more mighty in strength than few people. But this word has to do with numerous. It has to do with a number of people. And it says, exceeding mighty. This is why they went down there 70 souls. And over this period of time, and Joseph and all that generation died off. And they were growing. God was growing them, causing them to become a mighty nation. Look with me at verse 20 of the same chapter. Verse 20. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty in spite of Pharaoh's attempts at having all the male children killed, tossed in the river. The midwives feared God and refused to do it. And so the children of Israel still grew mightily, in spite of the attempts by the Egyptians to do away with them. Now, go with me to the 12th chapter. The 12th chapter. And look here at verse 37. Verse 37. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men besides children. That were men. Men, women, and children would have been well over a million people. It's safe to say could have been just under 2 million people would have been conservative numbers. Deuteronomy chapter 1. In verse 10. The Lord your God hath multiplied you And behold, ye are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. Again, just as they were getting ready to go into the land, stating that they were as the stars of the heaven for multitude. He grew them exceeding mighty in the land of Egypt. And yes, Deuteronomy 1, all those over 20 years of age had passed in the wilderness, and yet they lost barely any in number. The numbering in the, I think it's about Numbers chapter 33. I was looking at it this afternoon, Numbers 33. They had a numbering of the children of Israel, excluding the Levites, and it was nearly the same number as what had been numbered at the last numbering before all those died, because the numbering was had to do with 20 years of age, over 20 years of age, and fit for war, men of war, and so forth. So the point is, God said he would multiply them. God did multiply them. He promised that to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and he did multiply them. He multiplied them as the stars of the heaven, as the sand of the sea, for number. And he did that primarily while they were in Egypt, and then brought them out of Egypt, and they continued to grow and to become mighty, numerous people. So, as we said, very conservative numbers, put around 2 million. Some have even surmised 3 million at the entering in to the promised land at that time. And then back to Ezekiel in chapter 16. And in verse 7, go on with the next statement. He said, after the multiplying and increasing them, he said, thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thou art come to excellent ornaments. The word ornament, we would normally think of something like jewels and so forth. But this is speaking of a consider the context. Consider the fact that she was born an infant, and she began in Egypt. God saw her in Egypt, began to bless her, made of her a mighty nation. She's growing. So think of this as a child that grows. And yes, children like to play with mom's necklaces, jewelry, dad's rings, so forth. Clothes, dress up like mommy and daddy, what have you. But that's not speaking of her playing. She has grown to a youthful freshness and beauty in face. That's what this word here is talking about in the Hebrew, in the context of it, is talking about her having grown into a young lady. I read some that the Jewish practices was around 12, 13 years of age. They said they become a woman, a young lady. The boys, about 13 years of age, became young men. But regardless of the age, she had grown from infant, see? She had grown to a young lady now, to where she's taken on the facial expressions of a young, beautiful lady. And that is the scene here. In God's eyes, she was beautiful. She was lovely. She had a beautiful face. It's an expression of having come to full maturity and the wearing of better and finer clothes in childhood. This expression of coming to full maturity will really be seen when we get into the next phrase, you see. But she has come to the place where she's now, because she's a young lady, she can wear, shall we say, fancier clothes and begin to put on necklaces and jewelry, gold and silver of that sort. Turn with me back to the book of Exodus again. Book of Exodus in chapter 3. And just look at an expression that we have here in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 22. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor. This is while they're in Egypt. And they're going to be making preparation to leave Egypt. Shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, not just the jewelry, but and raiment. And ye shall, notice what they're going to do with it. And ye shall put them upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil upon your sons and upon your daughters. I skipped the sons. Don't want to skip the sons. The sons get their clothing too, as they have grown into young manhood, as well as the girls that have grown into young womanhood. So they were to put them upon their sons and upon their daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. They were going to be, they've grown into full maturity, and now they get to put on the garb, the dress of full maturity. They get to put on the jewels of full maturity as well. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms and chapter 135. And look with me here at verse 4. For the Lord has chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. Notice that word, peculiar treasure, a special treasure. Something of great value, something of great beauty. Told you that she had grown into beauty in the eyes of the Lord. Her face has come come to excellent ornaments. She was a beautiful young lady. She was. In the eyes of the Lord. Now I want us to turn back to Deuteronomy and just comparing and thinking of something else that goes along with it. We already mentioned in the eyes of the Lord to be the seed of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, a peculiar treasure to the Lord. But in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 8, we read this. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? I mean, she was special. She was so beautiful. And he, especially after he had given to her his law, his commandments, and she was to walk in that law. She was to walk in those commandments. And she was to be a holy people unto him. What beauty she was to have in the eyes of the Lord. Turn with me to the 33rd chapter. 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy. Look with me down here at verse 28. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also, his heavens shall drop down to earth. In other words, when she enters into the land, gets settled in the land, and she walks in the laws and the commandments of the Lord, she walks in holiness, she's going to prosper. She's going to be blessed greatly of the Lord. She's beautiful. She's beautiful in his eyes. He said then back in our text of Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 7, not only had she come to excellent ornaments, but he said, thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown. This is definitely another expression of her having come to womanhood. She has come to puberty. She was a wall, but now her breasts have protruded, and her hair, pubic hair, has grown. She's entered puberty. Yes, the fact that the infant has grown from that infant that was despised, that infant that was cast out, that infant that was not cared for at all. And she was cast out, and she's grown now. She's grown into young womanhood, as is noted by her breast being fashioned and her hair being grown. A woman she has become. It also says, whereas, he says, you've become a young woman. You've grown from that state of infancy. You thought you were dead. You were left to die. But because of what I did for you, you've grown into a young woman. Whereas thou wast naked and bare. Wasn't that her condition back in the beginning when we began this? In that she was born, no one cared for her to even cut the umbilical cord. No one had cared to even sought her, to cleanse her from the birth blood, or wrap her in soft, cuddly blankets. No. They cast her into the wilderness as one to die. So this certainly has reference back to the time of her birth, her nativity, and the time of her infancy. Look with me at the book of Job. The book of Job, chapter 1, and verse 21. Remember what Job said? Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. In other words, I came forth naked. Every baby comes forth naked. They bring nothing with them when they come. And you're going to take nothing with you when you go. That's naked. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return to her. Nakedness. Nakedness represents what? Doesn't it represent deprivation? Doesn't it represent nothing? That is what we just explained concerning verse 21 of chapter 1 of Job. When he said, naked came I forth. He came forth naked. No clothes. Just naked. He didn't bring anything with him. He was deprived of all material things of this earth. He had none. When he said, I'm not taking anything with me either when I go. It'll all be left behind. It'll be all left behind. So naked represents deprivation of all the blessings of life, of all the blessings of salvation. When we speak of being spiritually naked, we're speaking of having not the blessings of salvation. You're destitute of salvation. The Lord is said to clothe Israel with salvation. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah in chapter 61. And look with me here at verse 10. Isaiah, or Israel, says this, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. He said, he's clothed me with the garments of salvation. And everyone that has been clothed with the garments of salvation can say amen. He's put on me a robe of righteousness. Turn with me to back to Romans chapter 3. The book of Romans in chapter 3. You see, while Jerusalem was in Egypt, She had grown into a mature young woman, but still in her natural state, naked, and not yet in possession of the grace of God. She wasn't in possession of that grace yet. To not be clothed with the garments of salvation is to be naked and destitute. Not to have that robe of righteousness put on you is to be naked and destitute. Look at verse 22 of Romans chapter 3. He said, after describing that horrible condition that every man is in, beginning with verse 10 of this chapter, describing that horrible condition that every man is in, he says in verse 22, well, let's read verse 21 with it. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. You see, without faith in Jesus Christ, without belief in Jesus Christ, you're dead. You're naked. You're destitute. You're in your own righteousness, which we're told is as filthy rags in the sight of God. And you need to be clothed with the garments of salvation. You need to be clothed with a robe of righteousness, the righteousness of God, talked about here in verse 22 of Romans chapter 3. Turn with me to the 13th chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 13. And look with me at verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust of thereof. Listen, he's talking to saved people. He's talking to saved people. He's admonishing saved people to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in you. Walk as though you're in Christ. Put him on. Let him be seen in your life. But all those that are without Christ, they're not clothed. They're not clothed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not in Christ. They're naked and they're bare. They have nothing. Turn with me to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. No, chapter 2, excuse me. Maybe I do want chapter 3. Let me see. Yeah, chapter 3 and verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In other words, you put on Christ, you're in Christ, you were born again, you were quickened by the Holy Spirit of God, you put on Christ, and because you put on Christ, you were baptized into Christ. That is the picture there, according to Romans chapter 6, of baptism, that we are now in Christ, we died with Christ, we're buried with Christ, and we rise again with Christ, you see. So the picture is, if you don't have Christ, you're naked, you're bare, or as other passages of Scripture say, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. That infant, Jerusalem, was as good as dead. But God spared her. God spared her. Gave her life. Caused her to grow. Well, we'll quit there tonight.